God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Thank you, dear friends. This is Pastor Larry from Southwest Radio Church. The battle is raging, and I know why. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Principalities are among the first immortals to be created. Powers are spiritual forces that seek to exercise the right of control. We are struggling against immortals that are trying to control us. And then it says, we are wrestling against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The word for rulers is kosmokrator. It means world rulers or lords of the world. And then it says, we are wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual means all of this evil is not flesh and blood, not people. It is a spiritual wrestling match. Wrestling implies hand-to-hand combat. In the ancient world, the person who won the wrestling match was able to pin the opponent to the mat by holding him down by the neck for 10 seconds. I believe we are seeing spiritual warfare of such dimensions that we can only prepare for it if we take this verse seriously. Yes, seriously. We, of course, have to take the whole Bible seriously, but especially this verse, Ephesians 6:12. Don't underestimate the enemy. Every Christian has the spiritual resources to defeat the enemy. Are you using those resources? Friends, we're back with our dear friend, Michael Samuel Smith. And as you probably know, he was a pilot in the military. He worked for American Airlines as a pilot. He has a knowledge of world events, world history. He's traveled all over the world. He loves Israel, and he loves the prophetic word. And so we're going to be talking in this program today about the parallels between Israel and America and the significance of number 10 and number 19. And I've been visiting with Brother Mike, and I think you'll find this really very, very interesting. Brother Mike, tell us about things like 9/11 and 2011 and 732 BC and 722 BC, and then there was an earthquake in Washington. Just unravel all this. I know you've got a lot of ideas that fit with what the Bible is talking about.
Well, thank you, Pastor Larry. It's always a great honor to be back on the program. This is a very special radio station, and I hope all the listeners out there, you will share with your friends. You will share with the pastor of your church as well. They need to listen to this program, Watchmen on the Wall. It's probably the most unique radio program in the world. I really, truly believe that. And it does go all over the world, and this radio station's been here since 1933, and they're still on the watch, and they're doing a great job. Well, let's talk about the number 10 and the number 19 concerning Israel's history and America's history as well, and what's going on today as well here in America. I want to go back to the northern and southern kingdom in ancient Israel. 732 BC, the prophets were sent to the northern kingdom, and which is called, of course, Israel, Judea in the south, and Israel in the north. This is after Solomon had died. The country split into north and south. But the people in the north were not living right. God sent the prophets to them and to tell them and warn them of their ways and repent, or else he was going to send the Assyrians down to deal with them, which he ends up doing in 732 BC. Now, in that particular campaign, the northern kingdom was not destroyed. You could call that the first shot out of the bow, over the bow, if you will. But 10 years later, in 722 BC, and as you know, we count backwards in BC, that is the year that the northern kingdom was destroyed. And the 10 tribes that were in the northern kingdom were basically went off to the four corners of the earth, okay? So judgment came in 722 BC. That's 10 years. That's number 10. Okay, so let's look at the southern kingdom now. Of course, they survived. They're down in the south, in the Jerusalem area. And in 605 BC, the Babylonians start a campaign against Israel. Now, I want to go back a little bit. The prophets had warned the southern kingdom too, Jeremiah, Isaiah, so forth, to warn them of their ways, and God said he was going to send in the Babylonians in and deal with them if they did not repent. Of course, they did not repent. The first shot over the bow was in the year 605 B.C., and then later in 586 B.C., 586 is the year the southern kingdom was destroyed. So the two tribes that were there, Benjamin and Judah, and the southern kingdom, went off into captivity for 70 years, okay? So you notice 605 B.C. to 586 B.C. is 19 years. So mark the number 10, mark the number 19 down. What's that got to do with America? Well, let's talk about it. I want to go back to 9/11 because that was the first shot over the bow with America. And we all know what took place during that time frame. But let's snapshot out 10 years. What year is that? That's the year 2011. So I want to go back to 2011. There was a great earthquake in Washington, D.C. on the 23rd of August, 2011. Okay, it shook buildings. There was quite a bit of minor damage throughout the city. It was a 5.8 earthquake, and the epicenter was about 80 miles southwest of there in Mineral, Virginia. It could be felt as far away as Canada. People thought they were going to die. As a matter of fact, there was so much fear in Washington that day. I want to mark that day, the 23rd of August, 2011. Do you know that was the 235th day of the year? Now, what would you say if I told you it was exactly 235 years from the year 1776? It is. Is that a sign? I believe it was. So let's talk about the earthquake and some things that happened. Now, there were two buildings that were heavily damaged, the Washington Monument, which is a stone building, and the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. Okay, so the Washington Monument, you can safely say, represents the power of the United States government. The building there, the cathedral, the National Cathedral, represents spiritual America. Both were damaged, both were stone buildings, both were cracked. Now, it took some months to determine whether or not the foundation was cracked, because if the foundation was cracked, it's over for the building. And after a few months, they did determine that the foundations were intact, even though the buildings were out of service. But I wanted to go back the year 2011. President Obama was president. You know, there was a Torah reading. By the way, this was not from Rabbi Jonathan Cahn, but there was a Torah reading the week that Mr. Obama became president. And part of that Torah reading, as you know, the Torah is read every Friday night or to Saturday. In all the synagogues all over the world, it's the same reading from the Torah, the first five books of Moses. In the Torah reading, the week that President Obama became president was, "We now have a Pharaoh that does not know Joseph." Okay? So now what I want to do is snapshot out to August 23rd, 2011. What was the Torah reading that week? The Torah reading that week was Moses coming down off Mount Sinai with the two stone tablets and broke them, bringing judgment upon the Israelites. Okay? So is this a judgment from God about this? Well, you know, I have to tell you, again, 9/11, first shot over the bow, and 2011 is 10 years. So there's a comparison between that and what took place in the Northern Kingdom. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about 19, the number 19. Again, the shot over the bow, the first one in America, 9/11. Go out 19 years, and what do you get? You get 2020, COVID-19. This is 19 years after 9/11 has taken place. So there's a lot of things that are going on here. Okay, the other thing I wanted to mention was another thing concerning events taking place in our modern times. We all know that the United States government passed same-sex marriage on the 26th of June, 2015. Now, when that happened, you know, I'm always watching the Hebrew calendar like a hawk, because when certain events happen in current events in the world and in the country, I kind of compare that to Israel's history. Did something happen back in history on that particular day? Well, it just so happens on the 26th of June, 2015, it was the 9th of Tammuz. You know, most rabbis, Pastor Larry, they know the 9th of Tammuz is a very important day, because that was the day that the Babylonians penetrated the wall, okay? in Jerusalem. Now, the country was taken over. The first temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av, but it was the 9th of Tammuz. The wall was breached. I guess that's the word I'm looking for, that the wall was breached. In other words, God had removed his hand of protection via that wall and allowed a judgment to take place on Israel because of their sin, and they would not repent. And I believe the 26th of June, 2015, the 9th of Tammuz, here in America, God had lifted his hand from the safety over America and his blessing over America, and the wall has been breached in America, literally on the same day. Now, last one I'd like to talk about is America's parallel to Israel concerning an 80-year block of time. When we go back again to ancient Israel during the time of David, you notice David becomes king at age 30, and then he serves 40 years, and then he dies at age 70. The government is replaced the next day by his son Solomon. Solomon becomes king at age 30. He serves 40 years and dies age 70. 70 is always a number in the Bible that has a connection to Israel, either directly or indirectly. But the point being made is this. When the 80 years was up, in other words, 40 years of David, 40 years of Solomon, was up, the kingdom was divided that year. Okay? So in the 80th year, Israel is divided north and south. I wanted everybody to get that. There are dozens and dozens of parallels to Israel's history and America's history. So now I would like to go back to the year 1781.
Right, let me just think of that now. I think 80 years. Let me do some math. Wait a second. 1861.
That's it, Pastor Larry.
Wow.
What happened in 1861?
Yes. Well, we go from the American Revolution and the start of the Civil War 80 years later.
Exactly. North and South, just like Israel. So we see a play with that, don't we, in that. So the last thing I wanted to probably talk about, we've got a couple minutes left here. I want to talk about how God shows his hand in the Bible. You know, I want to go back to Joseph. We've talked a lot about Joseph in several of our interviews, but you know, I want to go back to the book of Genesis. You know, the Bible does tell us in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 and 10, God has declared the end from the beginning. And what that means is he declared the book of Revelation in Genesis. Well, what's going on with that, Brother Mike? Well, let's look at chapter 1, verse 1. It's God and his creation. The very last verse, Pastor Larry, in the book of Genesis, which is, there's 50 chapters in Genesis, chapter 50, verse 26 is the last verse in the book of Genesis, and it's all about Joseph's tomb. Why is it that the book of Genesis starts with God and creation? It ends with Joseph's tomb. Well, I'm going to give you the answer today. I want to go back to when the Jews were in captivity for 400 years. By the way, this is America's 400th year, too, right? A lot of parallels there. But I want to go back, and there's something that happened when Joseph was alive. He said, someday when I die, I want you, the Lord's going to visit you, and I want you to take my bones with you. He's referring to the promised land. And we know that happened with Moses some hundreds of years later, right? Okay, so here it is in a nutshell. 400 years later, we got Moses, and he's about to take the Israelites to the promised land. And it's all about, let us go worship the Lord for 3 days in the wilderness. And of course, they get the gold and silver because the people think, well, they're going to go worship their God 3 days and they're going to come back. And here, take our gold and our silver, not knowing they're not coming back. I'm not sure the people knew they weren't coming back, but I know that Moses did, okay? So anyway, but the question comes up, why did the evil Pharaoh attack the Jews to try to annihilate them before crossing of the Red Sea, if you will? And the answer is, Pastor Larry, when the evil Pharaoh, and you can compare him to like Satan, when he sees that the tomb of Joseph is empty, he knows they're not coming back and they're going to be liberated, and he is out to destroy them, okay? Now, let's fast forward about 1,500 years to Jesus' time. Jesus is in a tomb. In the name of the man who Jesus' tomb he's going to be placed in, his name is Joseph, right? Well, did you know Joseph in Egypt had a he had a title, and his title was Yosef of Ramathaim. And when you transliterate from the Hebrew to the Greek of the New Testament to your English, you get Joseph of Arimathea. And when Satan sees that the tomb of Jesus, who's in Joseph's tomb, is resurrected, he knows you're going to be liberated. Now, my last point in all this, just to prove this, who is the father of Joseph in Egypt? His name is Jacob, obviously. What is the name of Joseph the carpenter, Jesus' earthly father? His name is Jacob also, and you'll find that in the book of Matthew chapter 1, verse 16. Amen. That's the Holy Spirit showing his hand. Amen.
Well, the synchronization is absolutely fantastic. If I were to say that's all accidental, I would have to admit I'm an idiot. And so I'm not going to be an idiot. We just see God's wonderful plan. Brother Mike, that is encouraging. We know that everything is right on time. God is still on the throne. Prayer changes things. We can have hope. Look up, because Jesus is coming. Thank you so much for these shows.
Thank you for allowing me to be on. God bless you.
Matthew, please come to the mic. We've got some really wonderful stuff for our listeners.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is a big one. We have 5 of Michael Smith's DVDs. Up first is the DVD titled The Next Rapture. Whether you're pre, mid, or post-tribulation, this DVD is one of the most detailed presentations ever. Yours for a gift of $25. Next up is the DVD titled The Samson Paradox. Is there another dimension to the Samson story? Find out when you get this DVD. Yours for a gift of $20. Next up is the DVD titled Crossing Jordan to Reach Jericho. Yours for a gift of $22. Next is the DVD titled Joseph in Egypt. Yours for a gift of $20. And last but not least is the DVD titled The Cyrus Effect. Yours for a gift of $15. Now the special and special offer is when you get 2 DVDs, we will include at no additional charge a 3rd DVD of your choice. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. If you would like to order by mail, the address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order any of our materials on our website at swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Both President Trump and presumptive presidential nominee Joe Biden are in their 70s. Being president is a taxing, nerve-wracking, nail-biting job, one of the worst pressure cooker positions on planet Earth. There has been much discussion concerning the health of the candidates.
Biden has shown a noticeable shakiness during his bid for the Democratic presidential nomination. One day, he forgot he was running for president. He told a crowd he was running for the U.S. Senate. He almost referred to Super Tuesday as Super Thursday. He struggled to quote the Declaration of Independence, quote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women are created equal by the, you know, the thing," close quotes.
In July, a Monmouth University poll reported 52% of surveyed voters said they thought Biden had the mental and physical stamina required to carry out the job of president. In that poll, 45% said President Trump has the mental and physical stamina necessary. Now, I don't quite understand how Trump could be rated less able to handle the job than Biden. Trump is under a barrage of attacks every day, from progressive news reporters and interviews to Iranian mullahs making threats and cursing Israel and the United States. Trump seems to feed on hostility and ill will against him. Though hydroxychloroquine has saved many lives and has a proven track record against COVID-19, some doctors won't prescribe it. Why is that? Because Donald Trump endorses it. This man is hated with a vengeance. It has been called the Trump derangement syndrome. It seems to me that if Biden were under that kind of pressure, he would run to the nearest hiding place.
Mental acuity is a serious issue, and it's a legitimate issue when it comes to presidential candidates running for one of the most demanding and stressful jobs in the world. Questions about presidential fitness seem unlikely to disappear. In June, a Zogby poll reported that 55% of surveyed voters said they thought it was more likely than not that Biden was in the early stages of dementia. During the same month, Biden was leading presidential polls against Trump by nearly 10 points.
The Trump campaign isn't holding back on holding up Biden to ridicule. It has directly questioned Biden's mental acuity in television and online ads and seems likely to continue this strategy. Will the strategy work or will it backfire on Trump? Some Democrats are crying foul and charging the Trump team with smearing Biden. Yet less than a year ago, Democratic contenders and major media outlets were raising some of the same questions about Biden's mental fitness for the presidency.
Some claim that President Trump, who is 74 years old, has treated Biden with contempt. In an interview with Fox News, the president raised the question of Biden's mental competence and told Chris Wallace, quote, "Let Biden sit through an interview like this. He'll be on the ground crying for mommy. He'll say, 'Mommy, mommy, please take me home,'" close quotes. Taunting opponents is not a new tactic for Trump. Some, however, think it might be risky in this case. Older voters are the most active voting group, and some may have mental acuity problems themselves. Some see Trump's taunting of Biden as an indication of the president's lack of concern for older voters. Yet, a series of online ads were doctored to appear that Biden was being spoon-fed in a nursing home. It came at a bad time. Nursing home residents were dying from COVID-19. Another ad declared, "Geriatric mental health is no laughing matter." Another played a jovial tune and showed Biden falter in campaign appearances.
I've had the privilege of supporting and being kept up to date with the ministry of the Christian Law Association, led by Dr. David Gibbs and based in Mason, Ohio. Their monthly legal alert has articles of interest and sometimes alarm about the legal direction of our courts and lawsuits being brought to bear in those courts as relate to Christian ministries. The August 2020 issue had an article dealing with something people most likely have never considered, but that needs to be, in the case of a pastor leaving Congregation A to go and minister at Congregation B. The issue is what is legally called intellectual property by law. The question raised centers around the sermons, illustrations, or other materials that a pastor has come up with during his tenure. The question is, who has the legal rights to pastor's work while employed by the church? To whom does it belong? The answer may come as a surprise. The newsletter said, it is likely the church. The legal term in copyright law is made for hire. The concept is that work performed by employees, particularly when on company time and using company resources, belong to the company, or in this case, the church. Even if there is a parting agreement giving the ownership to the pastor, it could be considered a private inurement to the former pastor, an officer of the church, and may threaten the tax-exempt status of the church. What is the bottom line conclusion of the Christian Law Association? Here it is. The work completed by the pastor while in the employ of the church is the property of the church. The pastor may not publish a book based on the body of work completed while serving as the pastor without the express permission of the church. If there are royalties actually paid to the pastor or not, even with the permission of the church, the ministry may find itself facing unexpected tax issues. The Christian Law Association recommends getting specific legal advice if you, pastor, or your church finds itself in a position where this could become an issue.
Friend, have you ever gone to a praise concert right in the midst of a riot? Steve Schultz gives the following report of being in one. Steve and his wife returned from attending a Saturday evening worship event at Waterfront Park in Portland, Oregon. Quote, "It was phenomenal, and the Spirit of God was so present. I thought we were all brave, and we were, to attend this event when Portland still had so much chaos. But my goodness, when Sean and his team went to Seattle, they were under a far greater attack. The enemy, while wanting to appear angry and furious, is clearly frightened to death of what God's people are doing right now, worshiping their God right in the midst of satanic attacks. To say that I sense God's pleasure toward his people right now is a major understatement." Close quotes.
After leaving the huge worship gathering that took place in Portland, artist, activist, worship leader Sean Foyt brought his family and fellow worshipers to Seattle, into the very area once declared as CHOP by the mob of anarchists and protesters not very long ago. According to the report by Foyt, this was the most intense spiritual battle they've encountered thus far, as bodyguards were needed to protect the band as they played. But while the darkness fought hard against the light that believers spread as they worshiped Jesus, Foyt declared it a victory for God's people.
Sean Foyt reported, quote, "I had about 30 station bodyguards around myself and the band as they kept trying to storm the band and tackle them. They broke point, yet through it all, Seattle never stopped singing."
The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. Don't forget our special offer today. Get two DVDs, and we'll give you a third DVD, no charge. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com.
If you haven't already, you should have a look at our Southwest Radio Church Facebook page. If you like it, let us know by hitting the like button. We also have a YouTube channel. We have over 70 videos that are free to watch and enjoy on YouTube.
Thanks for being with us today. Join us tomorrow when Pastor Larry talks with Carl Gallups about the greatest con job in history. Is it the coronavirus? Find out tomorrow on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.